Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially since you're always growing and changing. Therapy is all about deepening that self-awareness, because sometimes you don't know what you really want until you talk things through. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Visit betterhelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Honestly, the economy got a little scary in 2022, and that could continue in 2023. It's okay to admit when money gets stressful, but what if you had an objective, relatable expert to help navigate the financial world? That's where NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast comes in. Smart Money hosts Sean Piles and Sarah Raffner talk with experts from NerdWallet's team of 100 money nerds to help you make smart financial decisions without the stress. Subscribe to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast today.
I'm so polite. Sir, sir. It's like a runaway train. And I'm trying to get his attention. Sir, sir, sir. Do you know almost every time I leave work and the moon is high in the sky? Because very often, regardless of what season, even yesterday morning as I was driving out of New York City and headed back to New Jersey, the full moon was gorgeous in the bright blue sky. So the sun is now up earlier in the Northeast, and it was so pretty. With the sun coming up, the moon was yellow because it was reflecting the sun's light. It's just so pretty. And every time I see the moon, I think the dude actually told me the sun and the moon are the same size.
My favorite is when you called him out. You're like, wait, did you just say they're the same size? He goes, they're about the same size.
They're about the same size. Oh my gosh. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for hanging out with us on what is now a Thursday morning. I'll admit I kind of like these shorter work weeks. The fact that it's already Thursday is, well, it's cool. So this is actually my third straight week in which I have not worked five nights in a row. I had the Syracuse trip, so that was work, but it wasn't working here. So there was a four-night work week, then a four-night work week, and now a three-night work week. Man, am I turning into a diva or what? But from this point forward, I take that back. I have a week of vacation coming up in April, so, you know, it's another, like, 3 weeks. Jay, don't even look at me like that. My family and I go on international vacations every 2.5 months.
Nothing planned at the moment.
Oh, well, I'm sure it won't take long. Yeah. So Jay and I appreciate our time away. It's totally cool. I think you should take time away as well, because what happens is you become rejuvenated, recharged, re-energized for a long stretch or a busy stretch, which is what we face in the spring with the March Madness. So Selection Sunday is coming up, and I do know that we're making plans. We're kicking butt, taking names, making plans for what's to come on Sunday. But here's the thing. Right on the heels of on Selection Sunday, which launches us into official March Madness, you've got legal tampering in the NFL. So March Madness, if I'm not mistaken, is the 12th, right? Sometimes I lose track of the dates, but I'm going to look. Yes, March Madness and daylight savings time. So not only do we have March Madness, but we lose an hour of sleep. Why? That is collusion. You want to know what collusion is? That's collusion to make us all exhausted.
Why do we still do that? Can we just stop?
No.
Please?
No. I don't actually have the answers. It's not about farmers, apparently. That's what they tell me.
Not anymore.
Yeah, and there are a couple of states that don't acknowledge. They refuse to play along. They're contrarians. But for now, it's a thing. So I don't mind that it stays later longer. I mean, that's not what I meant. Scratch that from the record. I don't mind that it stays lighter longer. Do you? As someone who works overnight, why would that be?
I don't know. I would rather, once we flip it back this time, can we just keep it and not go back to the savings or the earnings, whichever one we're in now?
Like,
just
once the we savings switch, or the earnings?
Once we switch back, that's it. That's it. And we'll
except
keep it light longer.
Except when in the middle of the winter time, when we see no daylight, then you won't love that either.
What, if we just keep it the way it was, we'd see less daylight in the winter?
Yeah.
I don't know. At least it'd be consistent. It's the same. Just
whatever.
Keep it.
You don't even care. You sleep until 8 o'clock at night. So
I'm going to my darkest retreat.
I don't want to be in a permanent winter darkness retreat. I don't want anything to do with something like Aaron Rodgers. Although, I'd sleep well in the cold and the darkness. So if it were me, I would have been snoozing away. That'd have been 4 days of the best sleep maybe I ever had. Why do we always end up talking about him and his...
Well, hit me in the darkness.
Yeah. So coming up on Sunday, March Madness selection show, plus daylight savings time. And then the 13th and the 14th are the legal tampering period for the NFL. You know what that means? All these free agents, many free agents agree to contracts terms. They can't sign anything, but they agree to contract terms with their new team. So we're talking about a free-for-all, a veritable free-for-all. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and even now we've got college basketball teams that are punching their tickets, like Colgate, for instance. Congratulations to them getting back into the NCAA tournament after winning the Patriot League. Texas A&M Corpus Christi won the Southland Conference, and then it's Montana State that beat Northern Arizona for the Big Sky title. And so it's all happening, and that's why it was nice to have some time away. Love for you to find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We're asking you the question of, after Aaron Rodgers, who is the next best option at quarterback? Now, some of you are assuming that Lamar Jackson will change teams. I kind of believe that unless it is a fully guaranteed contract, which we know the Ravens have balked at, they're waiting for the market to set the price here. They're going to see what other teams offer. I kind of feel like they'll match. I could be totally wrong, but it's the devil you know, the devil you don't know. If they don't have Lamar Jackson, then who? I know that Tyler Huntley was a Pro Bowler, but come on. Let's be serious. You're in the AFC North. You're in the AFC. So I honestly, in my heart, I still believe the best thing for both parties is that they stay together. They don't split up. For the good of the Baltimore Ravens franchise, they've got a brand new offensive coordinator. I think it's better that they stay together. I hope that's what happens. I think the Ravens want it to happen. They just are looking for someone else to jump in and hoping that that changes Lamar's mind. But at the very least, he's been tagged. Right, so even if he doesn't end up getting a quarterback offer from another team that the Ravens would have to match or not, he still has the franchise tag on him, and if he wants to play at all, would have to play in Baltimore unless another team steps up. And I can understand. I don't agree that it's collusion. I think it's bad business to give a quarterback, especially a running quarterback, I think it's bad business to give him a fully guaranteed contract. I think it was bad business for the Browns to give Deshaun Watson a fully guaranteed contract. There are teams out there that need a quarterback but aren't willing to go that distance with him. And that, to me, makes perfect sense. I think the Ravens are a well-run franchise. They're a consistent franchise. I do not believe that they want Lamar Jackson to leave. But there's got to be frustration there. So I honestly don't think Lamar is really available. That's just my personal opinion. We'll see what happens and how this plays out. I think both sides are, at this point, taking care of themselves, doing what's best for themselves, and we'll see what happens in terms of the supply and demand. But what I do know is that right now there's far less supply across the NFL than there is... Wait, far less supply than demand. Yes, I said that correctly. Jay's nodding at me like, yep, keep going. So what we're asking you is, after Aaron Rodgers, so it's either going to be Green Bay or the Jets, I would assume. Oh, you know what happens when you assume. But right now it appears to be either Green Bay or New York, and I would say leaning more and more toward the Jets. If that piece drops, when that piece drops, if Lamar ends up staying with Baltimore, which to me seems like the best option, well, then you're talking about middling quarterbacks. So who's the next best available? Jimmy Garoppolo is the answer for some of you, but there are also a lot of you who are worried about the fact that he doesn't generally play an entire season. Now, when he's on the field, he's smart. He's a good game manager. You put guys around him, the team wins. But once he gets hurt, or if he gets hurt, then rut-row. So Jimmy Garoppolo would, I would say, would be the next best option. But I understand there is some trepidation there. How about Carson Wentz? Oh, talk about trepidation. Marcus Mariota, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold. I mean, I could go on and on about Andy Dalton, Jameis Winston. These are all middling quarterbacks. This is why I'm saying that it's about to become a demand issue. And also why I think that teams are more apt, if they can, to either stand pat or look in the draft. Right? So people who, this is crazy, people who think that Dak Prescott should be traded from the Cowboys. Right, so you trade him and then what? Well, then what are you going to do? I can understand why there are teams that are desperate to move up in the NFL draft. Why the Houston Texans would really like to be able to move up to that number one spot. And they actually do have a bunch of draft capital that they could trade with the Chicago Bears because of Deshaun Watson and other trades. What about the Carolina Panthers? What about the Indianapolis Colts? Their general manager, Ryan Ballard, has made it very clear that they would like to draft Bryce Young. I mean, who wouldn't right now? Although, coming out of the combine, there are some other guys that really made waves. So, next best option after the Aaron Rodgers domino. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Also on our Facebook page. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. We heard from Calvin Ridley earlier. We've also heard from Jim Boeheim, as well as Brandon Miller, speaking for the first time since the incident in Tuscaloosa that took the life of a 23-year-old woman. The team, the school really can't hide him anymore as they head toward tournament play. And we've talked a little bit about the updates. We've talked a little bit about the injuries and given you some updates, at least as what, you know, what we know from the NBA with two superstars. But that was the first hour of the show, so we can get back to that, actually. If you haven't seen the video, it's cringy. It hurts me looking at it. Kevin Durant was warming up. He was driving toward the hoop for a layup or a dunk. And as he steps, his left foot slips. And at his ankle, his foot bends and rolls over, and his ankle nearly touched the ground. That's
really
how
easy to see.
Oh, it was easy to see how it would be painful and why it's an ankle sprain. He rolled his ankle. So instantly he was out and wasn't able to play, though we don't know how serious an MRI is forthcoming today. Devin Booker steps up. They route the Thunder, who had played back-to-back and had to travel. 44 points for Devin. Really sweet shooting night for him. Chris Paul, 18 points and 9 assists. But obviously, the biggest question is about Kevin Durant.
He's out there working his tail off, getting ready for the game, and he twists his ankle. So, I mean, you can't get frustrated about that. It's life. I feel bad for him because he feels bad. He feels like, you know, I saw his face, and I've been around him so many times. I know what he's feeling, and I don't want him feeling that way at all. I think every team in the NBA is cautious just because, you know, there's a care for the guys that are trying to win games and protect their livelihood. So that's always at the highest place on the list. This will be no different. We just have to wait and see how he responds to treatment, and we'll probably get some more imaging just to make sure we're, you know, everybody's on the same page.
It was an electric atmosphere. And yes, Devin Booker certainly lit up the crowd, but they were anticipating the home debut of Kevin Durant. That has been put on hold. I can imagine it's really frustrating for him because he was so excited to be back from injury. They were very careful with him. He scrimmaged. He went 5-on-5 for a while around the All-Star break. They had to wait. He had to wait. He just wanted to play basketball so bad. It was what? Going back to mid-January, and he was finally back on the court and then a couple of games and now has to sit out again. He just wants to hoop. Whatever you think of Kevin Durant and all of his burner accounts on social media, he just wants to hoop. And so this is just one of those setbacks that makes you like want to bang your head against the wall kind of a thing. At least it would be if it was me. Now, the other superstar in the Western Conference that actually had to come out of a game last night, that's Luka Doncic. And the eye test would indicate that the Mavericks are not better since they incorporated KD. There are a lot of moving parts here. They lost two great glue guys and role players. Spencer Dinwiddie, who could score more. Dorian Finney-Smith, who would kind of do whatever it is that you needed. This is different because you're talking about two superstars who are used to having the ball in their hands. They have to apportion these possessions and these shots, and it's not as seamless as what it was or what it seemed to be with KD and Devin Booker and CP3. So now, and plus, Kyrie's been missed one or two games, maybe just one game. Luka Doncic has missed a few games, and he's got an issue with his left thigh. This was a back-to-back for the Mavericks, and he was hobbling, managed to play just a couple of possessions into the third quarter before he left. And he did speak to reporters after, clearly in pain with his left thigh.
It's not good.
When is that?
I mean, it's been going for 1 week, maybe more. I just can't really push out that leg.
We all can see he's not moving well, so shooting, defense, it's affecting, you know, everything. So he's trying to fight through it and help his teammates, but he had to leave there. And so, you know, hopefully it's not something serious. We have a couple days here before we play Memphis, so hopefully he's back soon.
Ah, there is no margin for error, no room to breathe, really, in the Western Conference. And they're below 500 since the trade that brought Kyrie Irving to town. And then you think about what they've got coming up, and he mentions Memphis. Just in general, it's so tight. They're a game above 500, and you just can't afford to drop a couple games in a row, like, say, the Golden State Warriors have done, right? Or even the Grizzlies. I mean, the Grizzlies have dropped three in a row. They're higher up in the standings. It's just that they may lose their two seed. And so right now, you need all hands on deck, and yet the injuries mount. Every team deals with them. In this case, it's KD and it's Luka. And for the Mavericks, it's a dire situation because they cannot afford to be without him for very long, not in a crowded West. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's see. There's other storylines coming from the NBA that maybe we'll try to jam in. The Denver Nuggets lose a rare game at home. That was weird. They only had 96 points in this game. Now, they're still very safely ensconced. Is that a good word? Entrenched is a better word. Entrenched atop the Western Conference. So don't be crying for Argentina there with Denver. But yeah, they only managed 96 points while the Bulls have 66 points in the paint. Oh my gosh. And 18 points off the Nuggets turnovers. So that was a bit of a storyline. A couple of other games in the East that are definitely battles for position. And then, as we say, in college basketball, filling out some of the brackets with automatic bids, and the conference tournaments are en fuego now moving forward. All right, so you can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page. We're asking you next best thing once the Aaron Rodgers domino drops. What do you think, Jay? Should we? So I'll give you the option. We've got Pac-Man Jones, always entertaining, with a theory about why teams that need quarterbacks are not yet stepping up for Lamar, or David Carr with a rambling theory about how Tom Brady ran Josh McDaniels out of town with the Patriots.
Let's do the Carr.
Okay. Weirdly enough, I could have sworn that McDaniels was still there after Tom Brady left, but maybe that's just me. I mean, it's selective retention. All right, we're glad to have you with us. It's a Thursday morning After Hours.
I'm JR of CBS Sports Radio, and I want to introduce you to a new podcast titled Agents of Inclusion, brought to you by Special Olympics, Odyssey, and JR Sport Brief Productions. Every Wednesday, we'll be speaking with a different Special Olympics athlete to share their stories of perseverance, accomplishment, and path towards inclusion. We don't want you to just listen. We want you to become an active agent of inclusion as well. Special Olympics, Agents of Inclusion, find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring for good. I know the process was a pretty big deal last time, so when I woke up this morning, I figured I'd just press record and let you guys know first. So I won't be long-winded. Like, you only get one super emotional retirement essay, and I used mine up last year. So really, thank you guys so much to every single one of you.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I looked up. I actually Googled this. Tom Brady kittens. Oh, they're cute. All right. I don't know if you guys knew this or heard this, but Brady and his kids were volunteering at an animal shelter over the course of the season. So he was doing it while he was playing in season. I'm not sure if it was a project for his kids or he just wanted them to volunteer. But apparently his daughter, Vivian, she fell in love with these two Siamese kittens, Siamese mix kittens, and convinced dad to bring them home. And so there are photos out there, and I think one of them is captioned, Vivi wins again, meaning like whatever his daughter wants, she gets. So now they've got two kittens, and Brady is, you know, every now and then posting pictures where he's like, ha, 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 okay, fine, they're a little cute. Like there's one where the cat's like conked out, all four legs just splayed out in every different direction, laying on Brady's lap, it looks like. And he's captioning it, ha, 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 okay, so this they're a little cute, or this is a little cute, or something like that. And so I don't remember where the reports come from, and this is not really reports, it's more speculation. I think it was the Rich Eisen show about Tom Brady potentially coming out of retirement again for, was it the Dolphins? Right, so Brady responds to that video and that claim with, obviously, whoever reported this has never adopted baby kittens, right? So anyway, he's having fun with it, but the speculation continues about whether or not he will remain retired. I think he's got other projects on his plate, and I think he's good now. But at least he believes he's completely retired. There's no second guessing at this point. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I have to tell you something really funny. I have an 87-year-old friend. She was my neighbor, but she's moved to be closer to her son. And so now I go and visit her a couple times a year. Anyway, her name is Margaret. She loves sports. Although it's really funny, during the Super Bowl, she told me she was rooting for the Phillies. And I'm pretty sure that during the, because her sons are Philadelphia sports fans, during the World Series, I'm pretty sure she told me she was rooting for the Eagles. So she just was a little bit confused about which logos. But anyway, very cute. And so she likes to talk sports with me because she knows what I do for a living. She loves tennis because she's British. And so whenever I talk tennis, I send her the link. And I've also sent her some of my blog posts and everything else. So she knows what I do. And she likes to chat sports with me. So when she wrote to me while I was in Houston just to let me know how her week went. She had a really good week. She said, I went to see 80 for Brady. It was very funny. There were eight of us from her assisted living facility, and we were laughing out loud. So I guess a lot of people like the movie. That's kind of cute. Sally Fields in it and some other iconic actresses, and then Rob Gronkowski and Brady himself and blah, blah. All that to say, Brady's got other business ventures. He's got a production group. He's got, obviously, Fox Sports on the horizon. His podcast has been renewed. He's got kittens. He's a dad. All this stuff.
I'm 45 years old, man. There's a lot of going on.
Exactly. But it doesn't stop people from talking about whether or not he'll return and talking about his career, both in Tampa as well as in New England. Now, don't ask me why David Carr felt the need to give his opinion about this. But when he's doing podcasts, he seems to be a little more free, flowing, stream of consciousness. So he was doing the Harvester Sports podcast, and he shares his theory about how it was Brady that ran Josh McDaniels out of town in New England. And essentially that kind of led to the conversation about Vegas and his brother Derek and how things devolved there. But anyway, this is his theory about Brady running the show and running McDaniels.
I would say what happened is in New England, Tom Brady ran the show. So he was able to bully Josh, and he would just say, this is what we're going to do. And if Josh said no, he would go to Bill's office. And if Bill said no, he'd go to Robert Kraft. Trade Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't need him in here causing a problem. Jimmy Garoppolo gets traded.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
So I think that's what happened. I think that when they were in New England, Tom ran his stuff. Tom is a guy, historically, that gets to the line of scrimmage, picks the play he wants to run, right? Give me a set formation. Give me in and out of good play, bad play. Then I'm gonna. That's what I'm going to do. Right? That's what Peyton Manning did. That's what Tom did.
Duh.
I think that what Josh wants to do is Josh feels like, and maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong, time will tell. He feels like he can guess right most of the time from the sideline, which is almost impossible to do in this day and age. But Derek does say he's a smart guy. Like he's a football genius. Like he gets it, right? So the I think for Josh, he's going to get a guy that he can not control, but tell where to throw the ball, that has some physical tools, that can make some plays in the run game, that can push the ball down the field. But all I need is a jugs machine. That's what he thinks, right? You give me a guy that can just shoot rockets and run it a little bit. I'll point the rocket launcher in the right direction. I don't need any cerebral things from you. I need you to just go cook, right? I think that's really where Josh is.
Okay, so the idea is that Josh McDaniels now wants control because he didn't have it in New England. Here's first thing. My response is, it's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He deserves to have control over what happens on the field because he's the one that's looking at the bleeping defense. David Carr, you're a former NFL QB, but I don't understand how you can quibble with a Peyton Manning or a Tom Brady or an Aaron Rodgers or any of the quarterbacks who've proved themselves as savants at the position. How can you quibble with them calling their own plays? They see it in real time. You don't. Josh McDaniels is standing on the sidelines, or he's up in the booth, whatever it is. Brady's the one who actually has to throw the ball. Brady's the one who's processing what the defense is showing him and what he thinks and what he wants to do in that moment. All the best quarterbacks should have that autonomy. I don't have any issue with that. But also, Brady won championships and has the rings to show for it. So yeah, if you have to go to the owner to get what you want, I mean, who doesn't do that every now and then when you feel like you should have a little special treatment? But here's the other thing that really bothers me about what David Carr said on the Harvester Sports podcast. Again, it's his theory. But this theory that Tom Brady got Jimmy Garoppolo traded is old and tired. And here's why. Garoppolo was in the final few months of his deal with New England. He was not going to sign a backup quarterback deal to sit around and wait for Brady to retire. He wanted to go be a starter. He had spent 4 years there. He'd had a few starts, of course, when Brady was suspended, but he wanted to play. And the Patriots wouldn't have paid him starting quarterback money to sit behind Tom Brady. We didn't know how long Brady was going to be there. That's just the reason Bill Belichick traded him is because he needed to get something for him or he was going to walk. He traded him for not very much, but he gave him an opportunity in San Francisco. If I remember, it was a second round draft pick. Otherwise, Garoppolo was going to walk and they were going to get nothing. Belichick tried to salvage something out of that relationship or out of that situation. Again, he was supposed to be the heir apparent. Brady kept playing. They didn't know when Brady was going to retire. You can't sit a guy who's still leading you to Super Bowls, so you have to trade him. They weren't going to sign Garoppolo to a deal to be a backup. And why would he take it? If he was a free agent, he would have gone somewhere where he could start. They did what they could with the Garoppolo situation. That whole idea about Brady through, like, put his foot down and got him traded. No. I mean, please, look at the time.
No, that doesn't have anything to do with it.
What's the next best option? The next best option if you're looking at the quarterback chessboard and Aaron Rodgers is either Packers or Jets. What's available after that? Most of you are saying Jimmy Garoppolo. Some of you are saying go out and get Lamar. Others of you are saying there are no good options. I mean, there are options. I look at Carolina, Indianapolis, Washington, right? Who else am I missing? Carolina, Indianapolis, Washington, where?
Tampa.
Tampa needs a quarterback for sure. But Tampa at least had some stability at the position. But those other three teams, Carolina, Indianapolis, Washington, they're stuck in quarterback purgatory. I mean, it doesn't appear to be getting any better unless, Houston. Houston's another one. They had Davis Mills kind of off and on now for the last few years, but how many different guys did they start? So Houston, of course, is wanting to be able to get a quarterback as well. We know Chicago's not drafting a quarterback. So Houston's sitting there and could get the top available QB, their top choice at QB, if they don't get leapfrogged. If the Bears don't trade out of that spot and that's what they would like to do. So Houston's got to be aware of that. But yeah, Houston's another one. So those four teams, it's just been a revolving door at QB. Which is why, and even the Niners have been in that space a little bit too. They've had Garoppolo, but he's been hurt. Last year they started three different quarterbacks, right? So they're kind of in that space too. And Brock Purdy's not healthy. Trey Lance is coming off an injury. Constant change equals constant losing. Arizona could probably use another quarterback as a stopgap. So, Jay, next best option, who would you take? We've listed Dalton, Winston, Wentz, Mayfield, Darnold, Mariota. I don't know if Case Keenum is available.
I think it depends on my team. I mean, if I'm an owner, I'm probably shelling out the money to Lamar Jackson and seeing if the Ravens want to match me. If they want to play that game and he's right there to take, why wouldn't I do it? So I had, mostly all these owners have the money.
You swing and miss, though, and let's say they do match because you don't actually have control over that situation. Mm-hmm. All you can do is make an offer.
I would probably lean Garoppolo. I wouldn't love giving Garoppolo like more than a 2 or a 3 year deal. I mean, I wouldn't want to commit to him as like my future quarterback, but he's a solid starter. I mean, we've seen him win games before. He seems like that's all he does is win when he's in there. So, yeah, I'd have to go with him. Mm. Dalton, if I just want like a 1 year quick, and then maybe test my luck in the draft next year. I know there's a lot of good quarterbacks available next year in the draft. If I don't comfortable giving Garoppolo a big deal, but I think I'd lean Garoppolo.
I don't think Garoppolo could ask for a huge deal.
Yeah, just the length.
Maybe an incentive laden deal would be the right thing for Garoppolo. Yeah, no wonder that the Giants wanted to get this deal done with Daniel Jones desperately and why the Saints weren't willing to wait. They wanted Derek Carr. That was the guy they wanted to get the deal done because they recognized that it's slim pickings after that. So we've got the post up on Twitter, A-Law Radio, as well as our Facebook page. I mean, it's a tough question. It really is a tough question. If he stays healthy, Jimmy Garoppolo. Well, we don't know that.
See you guys on Monday. Thank you.
I mean, Baker. Wait a minute. Do you remember Johnny Manziel in the draft? It was Manziel, right? Where he texted the Cleveland Browns and he's like, come get me. Remember that?
Yeah, I believe.
Someone needs to pull a Johnny Manziel. Come get me. Just come get me. Start texting teams. Just come get me. But Baker is available.
I could see Baker doing that.
Right, that's true. I could see it too.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Brogdon to the top, working the ball to the left-hand side. Brogdon finds Tatum. They gave him a little space, and he knocks down a three. 27 points for Jason Tatum. It's a 21-point game. Tatum waiting. Uses the Griffin screen with 6 to shoot it, with 5, with 4, with 3. Tatum a deep three, and he made it from 3 steps behind the line.
We were in a situation where we was up 15 or so in the second, and we kept that lead, right? You know, we haven't done that lately. And even in the third quarter, starting off well, pushing the lead out, and not letting them back in the game. Something we struggled with, obviously, the last couple games. And we're about to go on a long road trip, so we need to come here, get a good win before we go on the road.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jason Tatum on NBC Sports in Boston. Before that, John Wallach filling in for Sean Grandy on the Celtics Radio Network. As Tatum has 30-7, they end a 3-game skid. And while they are still looking up at the Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference, that gap is just 2 games now. So the Boston Celtics of course, have been through their fair share of adversity and then had kind of hit the skids in terms of overtime games, but really allowing the, was it the Knicks that came back from 28 down? No, who was it that came back from 28 down? The Nets, oh, well, I was close. Same metro. The Nets that came back from 28 points down. Then you had the double overtime loss to the Knicks. Then you had the loss to the Cavs in OT. So those were their three tough luck losses, but still a force to be reckoned with. They did not shoot well from beyond the arc last night, so only 18 of 49 from three-point land against the Portland Trail Blazers. This is a game in which the Blazers only got 27 from Damian Lillard, right? The Celtics are a better defensive team, and Chauncey Billups knows you got to have more production than just Dame.
We've had a tendency a lot of times that when things are not going well, to just kind of throw it to Dame and watch him play. And that doesn't work against good teams. It just doesn't.
It definitely does not. I mean, the theory is in the NBA these days, you cannot win with just a single superstar, or it becomes a lot tougher to do. Right now, the Blazers are, it's crazy. They're sitting at 31-35, despite what we've seen from Dame this season. Same record as the Jazz and the Thunder. They're on the outside of that 7-10 tournament, looking up at teams like the Pelicans, the Lakers, the Mavericks, and the Timberwolves, who are now with the four teams in that 7-10 tournament within a game and a half of each other. In the Eastern Conference is not as tight, but there still is jostling for position as you work your way on down to, through the standings. The Miami Heat are currently sitting in seventh after a tough loss at home to Cleveland.
Mitchell left corner to Mobley. Mobley comes up, comes under, and slammed it home.
That's right. Bam didn't want to pick up that next foul, and he would have.
Mobley with a 14-point game. Garland with 7 on the clock near the half-court line. Garland directing traffic. DG, right of the lane, into the lane, floats, scores!
And he got him.
Here is Garland, pushes the lead back to 3. Garland out front against Hero. Garland, changing hands, fires it down low. Okoro in the paint, banks it home! Isaac Okoro in heavy traffic, banked it in! Timeout Heat, 102-97, Cavs by 5.
Another game in which the opponent of the Heat is able to take advantage of way too many turnovers. I don't know why the Heat are playing fast and loose with the basketball, but do you know in the last week, twice they've set a season high with the number of turnovers. So good for the Cavaliers, able to score 29 points off the 25 turnovers by Jimmy Butler and crew.
Been careless with the basketball. some good ones, some bad ones. When I say good, I mean we're being aggressive and we're trying to get the ball to people in tight spaces. And then we just had some careless ones where, you know, travel here, step out of bounds, bad pass. Part of the game that we do not like, but that is just that.
We feel like we're a good team. We feel like this is a, you know, this was set up to be a really competitive game, but it is extremely tough to win in this league when you have 24 turnovers. And you do have to credit them. You know, really the last 6 weeks, they've really turned up that disruptiveness. You know, they've been a very good defensive team all season long, but they've really sped teams up. They're physical. They get you out of what you normally do. And we knew going into this, you know, this would be in the mud. I thought we played well. I thought we played tough. I thought we did a lot of really good things. The turnovers were really tough to overcome.
Again, Cavs with 29 points off turnovers. This is kind of a funny stat, too. Donovan Mitchell passed J.R. Smith for the most three-pointers made in a single season by a Cavs player. He only had one last night. So he didn't actually shoot well, but by getting the one, he passed J.R. Smith. So kind of fun to hear him talk about passing J.R. And the team is counting wins now, and the Cavaliers have won 3 in a row. They're playing some of their best basketball. I like that Eric Spoelstra gives them credit for the defense. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Again, we'll wait to hear about Kevin Durant, who rolled his ankle and is getting an MRI. And right now, Luka Doncic is more day-to-day with a strained thigh. But if you look at the standings, we're talking about teams now sitting at 65 games or so, which means they've got just 17 left. And that's probably the high end, 14, 15, 16, 17 games to go. So we're getting down to the nitty-gritty, even as we approach March Madness of a different sort. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio and Facebook. Some of you weighing in. Gregory says Carson Wentz is the next best option. Jay just rattled his head side to side. So he goes with Carson Wentz on Facebook. This is an opinion question. So Sandy says Jimmy Garoppolo. I think a lot of teams would want him after this past year's performance. He was doing well. He's injury prone. I mean, this past injury was not on him. A guy rolled up on his ankle. I don't know how that's on him. I mean, you're a quarterback, which means you're going to get hit a lot of the time. So I understand it, but sometimes to call a guy injury prone when he gets a concussion or something like that, that's not on him. So there's a vote for Jimmy G, a vote for Carson Wentz. Let's see. What else do we have on our Facebook page? Todd goes with TB12. Dan goes with Dakota Prescott. That's not happening. Mark says Jimmy G is by far the best one left. This is an interesting reply on Twitter. Tom goes with Matt Ryan. He says if the team has an O-line, Matt Ryan is still good for a couple years. Wasn't that the idea in Indianapolis? Their offensive line just, it fell apart last year inexplicably. And if you remember, before Frank Reich got fired, he was apologizing to Matt Ryan because we didn't do what we were supposed to do to take care of you. A couple of votes on Twitter for Jacoby Brissett. I hadn't really thought of him. Talmadge and Tim send me tweets about Jacoby Brissett if you're looking for a stopgap. So, kind of interesting. And this kind of really underscores the point. You're talking middling quarterbacks. After Aaron Rodgers, unless a team goes after Lamar Jackson, but I still say the Ravens bring him back, if it's anywhere near reasonable, you're talking about middling quarterbacks. I'm saying Baker Mayfield. At least he brings all kinds of highlight reel moments. I never thought I'd say that ever. I've now become a Baker Mayfield fan.
I'm not going to fall for that trap.
All right. Hey, I just want to say thank you for all of your tweets and your support on International Women's Day, including JR. So JR, who hosts the JR Sports Brief show, he actually brought me on at the end of his show before I took over and wanted to show me some love and support, which is really cool. You guys are awesome. It's always nice to be appreciated. So thank you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Boom!